Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting with Caitlin Aubin. She is a phlebotomist technician with Quest Diagnostics. Caitlin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on and, you know, spending some time with us to talk about what you do and your experiences as a phlebotomist technician. So you are a phlebotomist and a new hire coach with Quest Diagnostics. Can you tell us a little bit about what it means to be a phlebotomist technician first?
Sure. So as a phlebotomy technician, you take in patients and you draw their blood, but you don't just draw their blood. You get their information into the computer. You make sure that you have the correct patient, the correct information for them. You want to make sure they're able to get their results. And you kind of build this, you know, relationship with your patients. You want to use your customer service and show them that you care and show compassion. If you're a compassionate person, phlebotomy is a great place to be.
So you go from the starting point of drawing the blood to what do you do with it after? I mean, once it's drawn.
So once it's drawn, you have to process it. So some tubes go to one department and some tubes go to a different department. Sometimes patients have to give you a urine sample or a stool sample they collect at home and bring it in. There's different containers depending on what test you need. Same with blood. There's multiple different kinds of colored tubes. So if you go to get your blood drawn, you might see a lavender and a gold tube, and those go to different departments depending on what kind of test it's doing. You know, like a complete blood count, like a CBC, checks, you know, sometimes for anemia, checks your blood levels to make sure you're not fighting an infection, and you need a whole blood tube for that. So every test has different requirements.
Okay.
Some go out frozen, some have to go out refrigerated, and a lot of them are room temperature. And you mm-hmm. sort them by department so that once they get to the lab, they have this big giant machine where they put all the samples in. And actually in New England, we have the largest automated line at the lab. And all the tubes go through the line and go to the departments that they need to be in, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So you just set them in the line, and then they kind of like a UPS warehouse where the boxes would be shipped out.
Okay. Yeah.
That's awesome. I never even would have thought that there was that much behind the scenes work to go along with that. So a day in the life of, or a week in the life of a phlebotomist technician with Quest Diagnostics, what does that kind of look like? And just as a technician, and then kind of talk about the new hire coach as well.
So basically you see, I mean, our location here in East Lyme, Connecticut sees about 100 people a day.
Okay.
So typically each phlebotomist, he's, you know, roughly about 40 people. And you know, open up like any normal customer service. You open up, you greet your patients. Hi, my name is Caitlin. I'll be drawing your blood today. And you bring them in your room. And like I said, you go over their information, make sure you have the right doctor, make sure they're having the correct test done, and make sure they follow, you know, requirements such as fasting. And just, we're kind of the middle people between the doctor and your results. So we want to make sure you have the best results. So that's your, as a phlebotomist, your main priority is treating everyone like you want to be treated. Make sure that everything is accurate and excuse me, and that everyone is going to get to that end result. You know what I mean? You're going to get your results back, and you're not going to have to come back again unless it's something else, you know, that you need to follow up with. Once you go through that with your patient, you have them sign, and then you send them on their way, and you basically do that all day long. It does kind of get a little redundant sometimes, but every single thing, every single patient is different. You know, one person might be here for fertility and the next person might be here for cancer screening. You know, you just never know what people are going through. And, you know, since we are the medical community, some people are going through things like, you know, a cancer diagnosis. So they come in really cranky and tired, and, you know, and you just have to be that positive influence to them. Like, I'm here to help you. I'm here to take care of you. And I'm going to do the best I can until you're out my door, you know.
Yeah, I mean, seeing 40 people a day, drawing blood, getting all that from them. But you're also, like you said, talking with them about sometimes we had our daughter's blood drawn when she was 3 days old. And that was pretty scary. So you're not only dealing with, or scary on our side, just to have that happen. But you're on the side of, you know, calming the people down as well. Like you said, the person that may be coming in and finding out they have cancer or something like that, they are going through a lot of stress, and you have to kind of talk with them through that process. That's pretty interesting.
And some people are lonely, just need someone to talk to. And, you know, we draw anybody from 6 months old to, you know, 100 and something years old. And we also do heel sticks on babies, which is not often, but I mean, we do that sometimes.
Yeah, that's what we had with our daughter. So as a new hire coach, then as a phlebotomy technician, what does that look like? And what is your role? And how has that kind of changed?
So the new hire coach is kind of a new added thing with Quest. So basically, we have our training team, and then we have our nesting sites. So our nesting sites are basically where the new hire goes after their 2 weeks of training, and they stay with the same person for about 2 weeks, and then they start trying different places. So the new hire coach is kind of the in-between person. Right. So we are trained to know all the policies with Quest, every single, you know, all the right way of doing things. Cause you know, it's such a big company. Sometimes one person tells you one thing, another person tells you another. We want everything to be uniform. So having the new hire coaches, all trained uniformly, they can, we can give the best training to our new hires, and they're not going to a bunch of different people getting told different things. Since I became the new hire coach in this area, cause I actually have only been in this area for about 4 months. Okay. I've been with Quest for 8 years, but I had been a group lead for 3 years, and I decided to step down back in October for, you know, family reasons. So, and just kind of, you know, taking care of myself. So, you know, getting my thoughts with becoming the new hire coach was, you know, I really want to see people succeed. I want to see the new hires succeed as a phlebotomist. A lot of them are previous phlebotomists, but they don't know the Quest way of doing things. Right. So, and it can kind of be a little confusing when we have a bunch of different programs that you have to really learn and learn how to acclimate to a new site. You know, every location you go to is different. You have different demographics, different types of doctors, you know, right. Like, you know, naturopaths and neurologists, they all order tests that you've never even heard of, and you have to figure out what you need to draw and how you need to process that sample. And there's special instructions for lots of things. You just have to really be mindful of what you're doing at all times. You know, you can't just go on autopilot. You really have to just, you know, be attentive to everything. Yeah, and newborn coaching is kind of the same thing. You have to be attentive to the person you're training. Like, what do they need help on? What could they improve on? What are they doing good with, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, just like you said, a lot of them have been phlebotomists prior or just getting their degree certification, and having them, like you said, learn the Quest way. of yeah. doing things. That's pretty cool. So you studied at Community College of Rhode Island and phlebotomy technician. What did that kind of program look like as a going through school?
So with that program, they're more of they're not really hands-on learning like a technical school would be. They're more like book-oriented, you know, making sure that you know the history behind blood drawing, all the technical side of it. Like it's been a long time, so, you know, the technical side of it, you don't really even start practicing blood draws until towards the end. So that's kind of nerve-wracking because now you've made friends with your peers and, you know, now you have to draw their blood.
right.
So that's a little hard, but when I went to school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. My first year of college was at the University of Rhode Island and I wanted to be a pharmacist. And when that didn't work out, I went over to the community college, which if there's any advice I can give is if people are telling you go to the community college, do it. Save that money, figure out what you want to do. Because at 18, you think you know what you want to do. But once you get into the real world, it's like, okay, what things am I good at? Where can I go with that? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, so school is, you know, you do your EKG classes, billing and coding, phlebotomy essentials, you know, what else did we do? Like first aid. It was one other one.
CPR probably as well.
CPR, yeah, that's the one I was thinking. Okay. So, you know, the courses are pretty short, especially like if you were to go through like, I don't know what kind of schools you have around there, but with the Red Cross, they do training programs. So if that's something somebody wants to do, you know, Red Cross has those training programs for people and it's cheaper, or like a community college, like here in Connecticut, we have Three Rivers. So I know they have a phlebotomy program as well as the Community College of Rhode Island where I went.
Okay. That's pretty interesting to, like you said, you know, not knowing what you want to do, but being able to figure that out as you were going through it. So then you finished up with your associates there as well in business management. No,
that was general studies. Yeah.
Okay. General studies, yes. And then you went back and got your business management and leadership. Has that kind of helped you in your new role as a coach?
Yes, definitely. When I was a group lead, like I said, for 3 years, I basically started as a group lead while I was still in school. It took me about 5 years. I did one class at a time through Cabela University online. I did everything 100% online, and it was definitely a different experience going from someone who did all of her college and at a campus, and then, you know, changing that and then getting pregnant and having my first child and, you know, kind of toggling all those different responsibilities. But business school really helped me put things into a different perspective when it came to being a leader and just focusing on people's strengths and what they're good at and what you can use of their strengths to help with what their shortcomings are, like what in their strengths can strengthen that shortcoming, you know what I mean? And really focusing on customer service and treating everyone else like you want to be treated and taking care of our patients, because that's the most important thing,
people are nervous when they come in to get their blood drawn just because of the needle and all the stuff that goes with it. So being able to have that customer service aspect and leadership really helps you as a person in there, you know, poking somebody.
Mm-hmm. And definitely stepping down from being a group lead to a phlebotomist again, you know, it reminds you that every site is different. You know, one of the things I noticed as a group lead is everyone's always worried about everybody else, you know, wondering why they have more staff than them. What you realize is everyone sees different things. Every site's different. So you just have to worry about here and now what you're going through and it's helping me be more happy with, you know, being a phlebotomist again and not, because I did lose a little money transferring back down, but it was in my best interest for sure. So, but seeing the different portions, like when I first became, came to Quest 8 years ago, I started in processing. So I was processing stat samples into the computer, getting them ready to be tested by the lab techs right there. So getting that aspect of the lab, seeing where it goes after we draw, you know, seeing the background of it, you know, you see, because sometimes you forget the before and the after. So as a lab tech, you forget what happens before, and just seeing everyone's perspective really puts it in, like, I don't know what I'm trying to go with that, but just trying to be like, see how everybody works and, you know, how what everybody else is going through also, you know, makes you appreciate things more.
Yeah. Kind of like what we talked about, that UPS pipeline, being able to see behind the scenes of what all's going on with inside of Quest.
For sure.
So the next part I was going to talk about was job experiences. And you kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, you went from a rapid response laboratory processor to a patient service to a representative float to a phlebotomy group lead and now phlebotomist coach. With your jobs prior to that, like Rhode Island Blood Center and Eastside Clinical Lab before you got to with Quest, what are some of the kind of things that you've noticed, I guess, from different aspects of phlebotomy or different aspects of different groups and how it's kind of arranged within the career?
Everywhere's a little different. So when I worked for Eastside Labs, I actually worked in a little clinic that didn't have a computer. So I had to, and this was at the beginning of my career as a phlebotomist, working at the blood center was a lot different because you're collecting blood for donation. So you're collecting a, you know, a pint of blood, and but going to Eastside where I was drawing for actual blood tests, you know, a lot of like STD screenings, normal like cholesterol panels and stuff like that. I had to know what to draw or where to find it, you know, and process it to get to the lab. But I had to be very thorough on what I was drawing or they would have to come back again. And the last thing you want is for someone to have to come back for something that you did wrong. It makes you feel like crud.
Yeah.
So I think that just the different ways of each place, how they process things is always a little bit different, and sometimes different containers for different things, but generally it's kind of all the same. Like I said, it's all about customer service. You can learn all that stuff, but if you don't have the customer service, you're not going to do well dealing with patient care. You know, you really want to be friendly and, you know, just show people you care. It's just like a big thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, and I want to kind of dive into it a little bit more. You know, you said you started out wanting to be a
pharmacist.
There you go. Yeah. Complete mind blank. What is a pharmacist? And you didn't really realize what you wanted to do. So you kind of, when that didn't work out, you went to community college. How did that transition of pharmacy to phlebotomist, and how did you kind of stumble upon phlebotomy as a career pathway?
So when I transferred to the community college, I decided to do lab technician, where, you know, you test the blood.
Right.
And during the first course, I wasn't doing too well. I wasn't grasping the information. I actually kind of fell into phlebotomy. My professor at the time was the head of the phlebotomy department and said, I think you'd be really good at this, especially because you love to talk. And she put me at the head of the list for the next semester. And I succeeded really well in phlebotomy, and it's fit me really well. And over the course of the last 11 years or so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that somebody that you know you were taking classes from saw that in you and was able to help you kind of find your path and find your career for you. So I know you've said it again and again, but I want to talk a little bit about what you love about being a phlebotomist and how you find joy in coming and, sticking people with needles every day.
Well, I mean, it is kind of fun sometimes, especially if they're crabby with you. No, I'm just kidding. But I just feel that when you're really good at it, people appreciate it. They appreciate mm-hmm. that you're good at it and you're friendly and you know what you're doing. And one of the things I wanted to touch on was how, when I first became a phlebotomist, drawing kids was the scariest thing on the planet. Yeah. And I had a bad experience at Eastside Labs working in my own lab. And when I came to Quest as a float, I would have panic attacks before a kid came in. I'd start shaking. I couldn't draw them. Now, since having my son, now I volunteer because I know I'm good at it. I know I can do it. I know I'm going to ease the parents' worries, because it's not even about the child when you're drawing a kid. It's about the parent, making the parent know that you are an expert in your field and you know what you're doing, and show that confidence that you know how to draw blood and you can draw that blood no problem. And I feel that what I love about it, especially now that I'm finally in one place, mm-hmm. after being basically a floater for 7 years, is building relationships with your patients. I have a couple of patients that come in already. It's only been 4 months and they already come in specifically for me. They know that I can get it the first try. They know that, I'm going to be kind and I'm going to make sure that they leave here happy. My goal is for the grumpy people that I make them laugh before they leave,
Yeah, I like that a lot. This as you're talking, so I try to donate blood as much as I can whenever they come to the schools that I teach at. I've donated probably 3 times a year since I've been here. This is 10 years, so that's about 30 times. And like you said, making sure that you can get it that first time is really important. How do you train yourself to be able to find the right vein to pull from?
It's basically just being patient, taking a look at the arm and don't just go for the first one that you find, basically with phlebotomy, you really want to go right in the middle. That's like your primary place. And then, you would do the outside before you would do the inside of the arm. So like, if you're looking at your arm like this, you would do like the middle and then you would look here. So basically I'll look across and see where I see some veins and then go to the next arm and look. Sometimes your patient will think you don't know what you're doing because you're doing that, but being more thorough, making sure you know what is the best vein to go into. Right. It's just basically experience, And I know that I used to get down on myself a lot when I'd miss because I didn't want to hurt people. That was the last thing I wanted to do. So, just over time, you just get better. And it's just a practice thing.
Right. What are some misconceptions that you might think of that people would think of when they think of a phlebotomist and the career path?
That there's just like one place you can go. You have a few options. You have, you could work at a hospital. You can work for a blood donation center. There's ones all over the country. Quest is all over this country as well as other countries, and you have a couple different options. I know that there is a need for phlebotomists, especially here in Connecticut, and there's less people taking phlebotomy, and because it's just one of those things that you don't even think about really until you need to go have your blood drawn, if you're not quite ready to become a nurse, or if you're not quite ready to take that commitment to going back to school for something longer, most of the programs are shorter, especially at the blood the Red Cross or, you know, a community college, you're going to get that done in less than 2 years. You know, or like a some states probably have like quick technical, you know, programs. They used to be a 9-month one around here. So, you know, the misconceptions I would say is that it's not just blood drawing. It's about, you know, getting that sample, you know, making sure that you're treating it like it has to be treated. Does it need to be spun down? Does it need to be poured off? Does it need to be frozen? You know, there's just so, it's just so big. There's so many things that we do on a daily basis. Right. And it just blows people away because they don't realize how much actually goes into it. I'm very much an analytical thinker. And I feel like if you're really good with stuff like that, that and good with science, like this phlebotomy is a good thing to go into.
Yeah, absolutely. What's something, you know, as you said, you've been a phlebotomist now for over 11 years. What's something you're most proud of accomplishing through your career path?
I would have to say becoming a group lead, because I really didn't think I was qualified when I got that position. I also found out I was pregnant the week after I got hired. Yep. So becoming a mother as well as finishing my bachelor's degree at the same time, that was probably one of my proudest moments.
Yeah, absolutely. That's quite a bit to take on, right? All at the same time like that. Through your career path in education, is there anything that you wish you may have gone back and done differently?
Like I said before, I really wish I would have just went to the community college right from the start. You know, instead of, I knew I didn't quite have the grades to become a pharmacist, but I tried anyway. And I figured once I was there, I would reapply. But it just wasn't for me. I didn't do well in college chemistry. I think that going to the community college right off the bat would have been smart. I wouldn't have so much student loan debt. you know, I feel like I wouldn't be here now where I am today if I hadn't made those steps the way I did, you know, doing university, trying the lab tech and, you know, seeing you don't know if you don't like something unless you try, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, like you said, you know, just being able to have those experiences and learn from them definitely helps a lot of people. But also knowing that if you don't know, it's okay to not know and go get your feet wet in a couple different areas and see what kind of sticks.
Ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So then with that, as a phlebotomist, what are professional development requirements that you would need to do either on a yearly or biannually, or how does that kind of work with phlebotomy?
So there is certification. It's different state to state, I think, but once you become a phlebotomist and you get your certification, some jobs don't require you to keep renewing your certification. So I haven't renewed it since I first became a phlebotomist. One of the things I always say is that test was really difficult and I thought I wasn't going to pass, but I did. Because, you know, that anxiety and the pressure of, you know, going to this testing center, just like SATs, you know, and it's just doing all that book work, you know, I'm more hands-on. So I can show you how to draw blood. I'm not going to remember, you know, something random about it, you know. So what was the question again?
Professional development, anything that you needed to learn about throughout the years?
Not exactly. And we do receive training, especially through Quest. We send out training all the time, like constantly. Different companies, like we do some kits from different lab companies, and sometimes they change, you know, policies. We do drug screens for pre-employment also. And sometimes those policies change also. So you're always taking quizzes and, you know, you do your yearly safety and your yearly, you know, stuff like that. But you're constantly learning. It's kind of like being a pharmacist, where you're constantly learning about new medications and new ways of doing things. New testing comes out. Like years ago when the BRCA test came out for breast cancer, looking for that BRCA gene, that was really huge when that came out, and testing so many people, because then you kind of know if you're susceptible to breast cancer, which is really cool. Quest has some is one of the best labs in the country, especially for innovative things like that.
That's pretty cool. So then with that, what are some of the kind of the industry trends that you're seeing with drawing or testing or stuff like that within the last year or two that's kind of came out?
Well, one of the things I have noticed is people are trying to take better care of themselves, especially with COVID. And I've seen a crazy influx of people just coming in for, you know, normal physical blood work. I know a lot of insurance companies are requiring it now. And it's good that people are willing to take better care of their health and check to make sure, see what's going on. What I like about now is there's more naturopaths. Insurance companies are starting to pay for naturopaths, and they check tons and tons of vitamin levels. Vitamin D levels are at an all-time low in this area. Where are you guys located again?
Kansas.
So your vitamin D levels are probably not that good either. So we get a lot of snow here, we're not like Washington where they get a lot of rain. We do get some sun, but it's just not enough. And vitamin D levels can, you know, make you tired. When your levels are low, it can make you tired, can make you lethargic. And it's just such an important vitamin to be taking every day. And I think that just people are taking more vitamins and taking better care of themselves, exercising more. And it's just so important to take better care of your body. And seeing people go through COVID is really opening people's eyes to making sure that they're taking care of themselves. And with the lab industry, we have, our area does a lot of the COVID testing. So we have had a huge increase in revenue this year in New England, because we do all that testing. There's a lot of COVID related tests that came out this year, including the antibody to check your spike level for your vaccine. There's a test to check your antibody levels if you had the virus. And then there's also, you know, they have rapid tests, and they also have the PCR tests. So there's just, every time something like this comes up, the lab's working really hard to come up with new tests to find these things, you know, and help figure out what they can do to make people better.
So then with that, you know, you've been a tech there for 8 years at Quest. What are some of your career goals that you may see for yourself, or have in mind for yourself for, like, say, the next 5 to 10 years?
As of right now, I'm kind of taking things slow. Within the last 4 months, I've slowed down a lot, just, you know, working on mental health, which is so important, and working with, like, doing this opportunity with you really just reminded me that I do have some future goals. I don't exactly want to be a supervisor or anything, but I think I do want to grow as, I really love to learn how to do IVs, which there's really not a lot of options to learn IVs. You'd have to either be a nurse or a paramedic. So maybe once my son's a little older, I'll go in that direction. But right now I have a passion for baking. So I've been kind of focusing on that a little bit behind the scenes, and just focusing on things I love to do, you know, kind of taking it easy. I really love it here where I'm working. I love my staff, and I love the people I'm working with, which is really hard to find sometimes. And just taking it easy. And so my ultimate goal is to really kind of build my skills in baking. But with phlebotomy, I feel like just keep learning new processes, keeping up with the new trends, like that BRCA test and what new tests are coming out, trends in certain tests that really aren't as important. You know, a lot of people don't do sometimes like colonoscopies. You know what a colonoscopy is? We have a stool test that checks for blood in the stool. Instead of having to go through all of that, you can do, you know, and now there's multiple different ones. There's different options, different companies that have those. So then doctors have different options and they can do their research and see, you know, who has the better option. So ultimately just learning. I love to learn. I don't really want to go back for my master's at this point. But just, I just continually learning all the time.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Being able, like you said, you know, you're in a really good spot. You like what you're doing. Taking care of yourself, and you have ideas of what you want to do maybe later down the road, but for now you're just focusing on what you're doing and enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah,
and I like that.
Taking things slow, because I, you know, as a group lead, everything was just all over the place. I was just going all the time, never sitting down and saying, what am I doing for myself today? You know, how am I taking care of myself so that I can take care of these other people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Absolutely. So this kind of goes, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but this is kind of a four-part style of a question. It's going to be advice for an age group. And we're going to start off with a high school student, move on to a early college age student, and then somebody that's getting ready to graduate or get their certification, and then that person that has been a new employee for 3 to 6 months. So if somebody that's in high school, say a junior or a senior in high school, says, okay, I want to be a phlebotomist, what are some things that they could be doing or some advice you would have for that person to kind of learn more about?
Go to your local lab and ask some questions. Go donate some blood, you know, and talk to the staff, you know, talk to people that have experience in it. Talk to your friends and family about their experiences, you know, getting their blood drawn. Maybe even contact a school and get some advice on what things you can do to get prepared for it. You know, even get like a basic phlebotomy book, and learning the different, because a lot of it in phlebotomy school is learning the tubes. What are the tubes used for? I grew up basically studying the medical dictionary. I loved it. I would go in it all the time and read different words that I didn't know. And like I said, I love to learn. So I was constantly trying to learn more things about the medical community. I was just obsessed with it, and just learn from the people you know. And that's important. So yeah. High school, you know, talk to people and just, you know, read more on what career path you could go on with that.
Do you have a basic phlebotomy book that you might recommend?
I don't.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's just pretty interesting. And then somebody that is in school for phlebotomy, what would somebody that, or maybe that's getting their just starting in phlebotomy school, what would advice you would have for them?
Don't get down on yourself if you're not catching on right away. Drawing blood, I definitely remember the first couple times I drew blood, I did not hit any veins. And you can't expect to learn overnight, and you just have to take things slow and trust the process in learning. In college, you know, make sure you're doing your internships. A lot of schools require it. Make sure you are, you know, put yourself fully in and learn as much as you can from the people around you during those internships.
Yeah, I like that. So then with somebody that is just finishing up their certification or their degree, getting there to become a phlebotomist, What advice would you have for them when they are looking for a job?
Just keep applying. It can be difficult at first to find a job. It did take me about 6 months once I graduated. But just keep applying, keep putting yourself out there. You know, volunteer at the hospital. I don't know if with COVID you can still do stuff like that. Sometimes they just have volunteers that go in. So just keep putting yourself out there. And again, talk to people that you know that work in the hospital or, you know, work for somewhere like Quest. Quest is really big now. That's a big part of why we started this coaching program is take kids right out of college, people right out of the program so we can train them how we want to train them. You know, we never used to take people without experience, but now we want to mold them the way that we want them. So talk to somebody who works for Quest, find out if that area does a training program like that, which is very helpful. We, as a group lead, we had two of them, and they were one of our best employees, you know, because they knew exactly how we did things. And one of them actually went on to nursing school. So,
yeah, that's pretty interesting. So then as the coach, you know, you get to see them and help teach them the ways of Quest. What is some advice you may have for somebody that is 3 to 6 months into the career?
Like I said, don't get down on yourself if you're having a hard time. It is a lot to learn. Just trust the process and trust yourself that you're gonna pick it up. Write notes. Take tons of notes, all the notes you can, especially with things like the color coding of the tubes. You know, it's sometimes hard to memorize things like that. So just continue to try your best and trust it that you're gonna learn. Yeah. And don't get down on yourself when you miss a vein. You're gonna catch the next one.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. So then our athletic trainer kind of her question, if you like and if you dislike this, then being a phlebotomist is not for you. So her answer for athletic training was, if you dislike feet, being an athletic trainer is not the career path for you. Wrapping ankles, taping ankles, all that kind of stuff. So if you dislike blank, being a phlebotomist is not the career path for you.
Blood. Or urine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or people telling you too many things about their personal lives. You know, you kind of sometimes feel like a little bit of a psychiatrist. So, yeah. And people like to tell you a little bit too much. So if you have a weak stomach, it's probably not the best place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you do like blank, then being a phlebotomist could be the right career path for you.
If you like caring for people and you want to give them a good experience and you don't mind dealing with things like blood, urine, stool, you know, you kind of get over that because you don't actually say, I think if I was a paramedic and there was blood all over the place, I don't think I could handle it. But keeping it contained in something like a tube is a different story. So if you're okay with that little bit there, I think you'll enjoy it. And just being, if you're good at being personable, you know, and have a lot of compassion for people, you'd like it.
Yeah, I like that answer a lot. And then thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're on our last question. Just wanted to thank you again for your time. Do you have a mantra or quote that you kind of live your work life through?
Always going with your gut instinct. You know, like I said, with finding a vein, it's finding the best one for the job, you know. When always going with your gut to me is if something doesn't feel right, you need to reassess the situation and maybe it's not the best way to do something. Or, you know, I feel like if I don't go with my gut instinct, I end up needing to go with my gut instinct afterwards. I actually thought a lot about that question today and it was hard to figure that out. because, you know, but that's always what I say to myself is when I don't go with my gut, that's when I regret it. So always go for what feels right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for spending this time with us, and we really appreciate
it. You're welcome. It was nice to meet you, Drew.
Nice to meet you as well. If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.